We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We are an explosive offense, even though we're a run first offense. And so I didn't feel the stress until we went down, you know, maybe 24. I felt like we could play, you know, our game still, you know, where we were mixing it, you know, maybe passing it just a little bit more. But the explosive plays weren't there today. Again, anytime the explosive plays aren't there, I'm always going to put myself in that situation first. I'll have to see the numbers of what we were, but, you know, some of our explosive plays came on some, you know, when we were down and they were playing a little bit softer. I didn't feel that press until, you know, we were down maybe 24-0.
Until you were down 24-0. Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
So by the way, he talks about this explosive play offense. That was Nick Sirianni after the game yesterday. He has created his own stat that has the Eagles as having explosive plays. It's 16 or more yards. Mm. They don't have an explosive play offense. They don't have explosive players. They don't have a quarterback that makes explosive plays. They don't have a wide receiver. Devontae Smith's not an explosive player.
No.
He's going to be a good wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He's not an explosive player. Right, like maybe Quez Watkins, because of the speed, can make big plays, but he really has any of the – what? How many big plays did he have this year, explosive plays?
Quez Watkins, yeah. Two, three, maybe tops.
Okay, like, yeah. Tyreek Hill makes explosive plays, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think everybody knows who makes explosive plays in this league. The Eagles don't have – they're not an explosive offense, so stop.
God, you know, I got my own stat. Common sense decisions. You know how many Sirianni had yesterday? None. Can you – you know, I'm something I can't wrap my head around. So they come out the game – Tampa Bay defensively says, you know what, we're just going to stack the box. They talk about the run game. We're going to stack the box. We're going to make them beat us with Jalen Hurts' arm. You're going to tell me Nick Sirianni didn't plan for that? Because if you were to watch the game, he did nothing to combat it. The moment the run game was shut down, he panicked. And there was no rhyme or reason with his play calling moving forward. Common sense tells you with a Todd Bowles defense – what works so well against them is your tight formations on the line, spread them out a little bit, and with someone like Devontae Smith, run some comeback routes, he'll be there, throw him the ball. But not a single one of those plays was used until the third quarter. How did Devontae Smith not get a single look until the second half? That's on the head coach. That's not the quarterback. I'm not defending the quarterback, but that is all on the head coach, who had no game plan going into yesterday.
It's Goddard. It was like his one thing he was trying to do look in the first half.
Go ahead, guys. Just look
Goddard.
For Goddard. Look for Goddard.
Yeah, it was Goddard, who isn't reliable. No. How many games do we have to have where the ball's sailing through his hands or he's making a big drop?
I know.
He has
some good games, then he'll have one where he's got cinder blocks for hands.
He's a good player, but he's starting to make the money where you don't have the drops.
It's not acceptable anymore.
No,
yeah.
It's not. Yeah. It's not. Who deserves the most blame for the Eagles' loss yesterday? That's our Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Support the home team. Shop Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville for the best selection of diamond engagement rings in the area. Online, marks-jewelers.com. For me, it's easily Hurts. Sirianni's right there with Hurts. Sirianni was bad yesterday, right? But also, like, Sirianni calls the plays. How much better would Sirianni have looked if the quarterback would have made some of the plays?
Oh, sure. There's a couple
made some of the throws.
A couple where the wide receivers were open that Hurts either didn't see them or couldn't get it to them. Absolutely. But I'll combat that by saying you're the head coach. You know what you have at quarterback. You know what he is and is not capable of, and you should design your game plan around that. And he didn't. The moment the rushing game was stifled, he was winging it. And he was running plays that aren't designed for a quarterback who has limitations.
All right. And today's broadcast sponsored by Chigs and Pete's. Have you heard the news? Chigs and Pete's coming to Malvern. If you want to join a winning team at Chigs and Pete's Malvern, go to chigsandpete's.com for details on the new Malvern location. Let's go to the phones with Matt calling from Pottstown. Matt, how are you, buddy? What up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Right.
That's a great segue into what I want to talk about Sirianni and Hurts. But before I get there, that was such an overall embarrassment yesterday on national TV. I found no solace in the Dallas loss. I didn't even care at that point what Dallas did or didn't do. I was so depleted on what our team did and didn't do. Like, I didn't care what Dallas did. And not to get sidetracked, but am I the only – I don't like Jimmy Garoppolo. Is that across the board or something?
He tried to give that one away yesterday.
Yeah, he did. Something about his face, that long neck. He's just that guy.
He's too good looking.
Is that what it is? Smack. I don't know. Something about him. I just don't like the guy. But going back to us, I mean, first, you know, Gannon should be fired by 11 a.m. tomorrow. That's bar none. No questions asked. That shouldn't even be a discussion. As you go to the offensive side, you know, Nick Sirianni's not going to take the hit, although I agree. I do believe I put more of the loss on him than anybody else. But my question kind of comes to this. You know, a lot of people talk about we kept, and, you know, Seth was big on it, about banging our head on the wall. We keep doing the same thing, like something's going to change. How much of that is incompetence, and how much of that is between Sirianni and we know the two clowns above him making it so that this is what you must do? But in Sirianni's case, I'm sticking with this because this is the type of team I want us to be. This is how I want to go moving forward, and the only way to do that is leave Jalen Hurts out on an island and expose him for all of his deficits, because ultimately, Jalen, he can say whatever he wants at press conference. Jalen is not his guy, never was. So I think from Sirianni's standpoint, he would like to have the program with a quarterback that's under his selection, under his tutelage. He doesn't have that right now. So how much of this is incompetence, and how much of this is just leaving Jalen Hurts out there to be exposed so that change happens?
See, but here's the problem. And John Marks, this is why I got a big issue here. You never want to expose your player, right? If you're the front office, of course you don't want to expose Jalen Hurts, because if you have it in your mind, you want to trade him, you want to get the most for him, so you don't want to make him look bad. If you're a head coach, and this is something Sirianni preached over and over and over again, he will design plays that are built around the strength of his roster and the strength of his player, and there's no more important player than his quarterback. And when we watch that game unfold yesterday, of which we can find no positive to take away from, the fact that this head coach, when the run game was clearly not going to work and you had to open it up with the passing game in order to go back to the running game, the fact that he had nothing designed for his quarterback other than, well, drop back, if nothing's there, just run, that's a red arrow pointing right at the head coach saying he didn't plan properly. He didn't put any – he's – putting together an offense that is not designed for the quarterback he has.
He was terrible yesterday. Nick Sirianni was terrible yesterday. The bigger problem is the quarterback isn't good enough. That's the bigger problem. We can focus on Nick Sirianni doing a poor job with trying to coach around Jalen Hurts. Let's focus on trying to coach around Jalen Hurts. Mm. Let's worry about Jonathan Gannon. Matt wants him fired by whatever time today or whatever. I'm not saying Jonathan Gannon did a good job yesterday. I don't think he did. They're the personnel on the team, right? Like, it's a good start. This year was a good start for the Eagles. Remember, we were expecting a 7 or an 8 win team. They got the benefit of playing a COVID replacement game against the Washington football team, which helped them, right? They played some really bad quarterbacks. The Giants weren't as good, even though they lost the game to the Giants, right? Like, the personnel on defense isn't good enough.
Yeah.
It's just flat out not good enough. I heard Troy Aikman say yesterday that, the Eagles front four gets to the quarterback. They don't need to do a lot of blitzing.
You mean the second highest paid front four in the entire NFL?
Yes.
Fletcher Cox, $102 million, couldn't even sniff Brady?
Fletcher's at the end he'll probably be back next year. He's still a guy that contributes, but not nearly enough for him. Well,
Barnett contributed yesterday.
By the way, getting the sack when you're getting blown out where you're doing the double kick, was that Hargrave?
How unlikable does that make you? My God, you're getting trounced and you get a sack and you're celebrating.
And you do a double kick.
It's so aggravating, man. See, this is what I keep getting back to. I feel like I had a mask pulled over my eyes, and it was taken off, and I was shown the real Eagles, because I'm all excited, I'm delighted, I'm like, all right, just give it your all, and then I see them get trounced, and I see stupid, nonsensical, you got a sack down 24-0 and celebrating, that makes me hate you. That doesn't make me like you or support you anymore. It's like you have no grasp of the reality of what's going on here. You're looking at individual stats now.
Yeah.
That bothers me.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, you had the perfect mixture yesterday of a team that wasn't as good as they probably thought they were and as they actually were. And as we thought they were, too, right? Like, we see playoffs and we're like, oh, well, you know, they're a playoff team. Oh, they're going to be able to run their way into the playoffs and then in the playoffs. They can't stop. No one can stop the Eagles running. You know how many freaking people told me that the Eagles running attack can't be stopped?
Yeah.
And then one team stopped them by just putting an extra guy in the
putting
box.
Putting competent players in the box.
Yeah. So you have that. Now you're in the playoffs, right? Tampa Bay wasn't even good yesterday. That team looked like a team that's going to win the Super Bowl.
No, they're not going to.
No, Tom wasn't even great yesterday.
John, please, somebody has to answer this question. So in the moment, you're like, all right, well, they came up with a stop. They're going to get the ball back. It's not entirely out of reach. They've had slow starts. And the punt goes to Jalen Reagor, who muffs it, right? And then remains in the game. Someone has to tell me, because nobody from the Eagles is going to give you the truth. Who said keep him in the game? Is that a front office thing or how he's like, no, keep him in. I want him in the game. He's going to figure it out. Or is that Nick Sirianni, which may be even more damning, that you're going to tell me that there was no better option? He's a negative. He hurts you when he's in the game.
Are you talking about on offense or returning
both
punts?
Both.
Well, who's coming in if you bench him?
I don't care.
Well, John.
You're going to tell me anyone isn't a better option at that
John,
point?
But, John, here's the problem. Greg Ward was injured.
Yes, I understand. Yes.
He couldn't play. See, here's what everybody needs to realize with Jalen Reagor. And I don't believe Howie Roseman during a game is calling down the Nick Sirianni and saying, you better keep him in the game because it just makes it would make him look worse anyway. The guy sucks. He's never going to be good. Can we just agree on that? The Jalen Reagor is never going to be good.
No one will dispute that.
That's
but if what you are saying is true, that the head coach said this is my best option and kept him in there, I mean, I
okay, again, John, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. I don't think Nick Sirianni thinks Jalen Reagor's any good. You need players to play. You need 11 players on the field to play. Who are your wide receivers if you're going to have more than two wide receivers?
Who's my option after Reagor if Greg Ward isn't available?
I don't think you have one.
Oh,
you
God.
Tell me.
Oh, God.
That's the problem. It's a numbers game. Here's what I like. This game, earlier in the season, Jalen Hurts just talked about, was it the Giants game flushing it? I ain't flushing this game. This game's not getting flushed, all right? I'm going to flush Jalen Reagor, all right? Because he's never going to contribute. He's never going to be good. I hope he's able to go somewhere else and carve out a nice NFL career.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a minute.
It's over.
Do you want me to be the bearer of more bad news?
What?
Is he not owed $4.5 million?
Yeah, he's
so you'd have to take that hit?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Because no one's going to want to trade for this guy or anything like that. Yeah, but, like, you're better off without him, but you need players to actually play. You need somebody to fill out a roster. So as bad as Jalen Reagor is, and they tried this season
why did they keep him in on special teams?
Because Greg Ward's the backup punt returner.
You can't have Kenny Gainwell back there?
Dude, I don't know. I'm not telling you that you're wrong. I would never have Reagor out there. The bigger thing is going forward, he can't be on the field. Like, just bottom line, he can't be on the field. You can't have him as a kick returner. You can't have him as a punt returner. And sure as hell don't put him out there as a wide receiver. All right? Like, you have to move on. Even if you're admitting a mistake and it makes you look stupid, giving him another year of trying to develop isn't worth it. It's not worth it. Maybe he comes back next year. There's nobody that wants that. Joe and Trenton. Joe, go ahead. What's your reaction? How are you?
What's going on, guys? Good afternoon to you.
Hi,
all.
Hi, Joe.
Good
afternoon.
John, I have to humble myself and apologize to you, brother. I swear I do, man. Because I swore up and down that you just wasn't feeling the team. You wasn't feeling Jalen. But after yesterday, man, reality hit me like a mother, man. You were correct all along. And I humbly apologize to you, man.
What was I correct about? Jalen or?
Jalen from the jump. Jalen. And I was like, okay, I'm not an OG fanatic. I'm not a, you know, Chuck or whatever fanatic. But I was like, okay, I believe in this kid. You know, maybe John just put too much pressure on him. Maybe John is not seeing something. And I'm like, nah, John was correct. Like, he's not sitting in this progression. He's not looking at the field properly. I think he's not even looking at his first read. He gets the ball and he just goes for whatever he knows. Yeah. And I think that's so frustrating. And, I mean, like, honestly, man, that's what I call for. I'm just frustrated, period, man. I feel like, you know, yeah, I was one of those optimistic guys about the team, and then I looked at the four games that we won against terrible teams, like, hey, we won those games, so what? But I look at it now, yeah, oh, going 0-6 against competent teams and quarterbacks, yeah, we really wasn't prepared, and we really wasn't there. We shouldn't have been in that playoffs. I think a 7 or 8 game win season might have just been a success. I think us going into the playoffs kind of really hurt the identity of the team because we already knew what they were, but just seeing that just made it more frustrating. And it lets us know that our front office, we can't afford to trade these picks unless we know we're getting a competent quarterback or something. Because they really have a lot of work to do, man. I'm going to sit back and sit and enjoy the show, guys, man. I'm out, man. I got nothing left, guys.
But doesn't it speak to the head coach that, it's all on the quarterback? But you're going to tell me unless he has what you would see as a top five quarterback, we'll never know what Nick Sirianni is as a head coach? That's shameful. I mean, the fact that he's like, what do you want me to do? My quarterback isn't capable of these things. I can't design a plan around what he can do. That's inexcusable to me. The one thing about Hurts, and this is what drives me nuts, I agree with everything you're saying, John, that he was a massive disappointment yesterday. It was too slow with his progressions, didn't look beyond his first read, all things you expect him to do at this point in his development. He's only 23, right? This is the youngest Eagle quarterback to ever start a playoff game, and he certainly looked like it. He is at that age where we have all seen, whether you're fan or media, with young players who have some level of talent. They don't always know what their limitations are. They think, I guarantee in his mind, he can be Aaron Rodgers. But everybody else is saying, what the hell are you talking about? You're not Rodgers. No. You're not even half a Rodgers. You have a specific skill set with the added variable of being mobile if the time calls for it. It's all about teaching him to know what he can and cannot do and utilize it in a game situation. And that's what bothered me the most yesterday because Nick Sirianni, spending a whole year with him, clearly didn't teach him any of that. It looked like the same game we saw when he stepped in for Wentz last year. I've seen no improvement, and I put that as much on the head coach as I do the player.
Yeah, you can put it on Sirianni. I'm fine with that. I think it's not abnormal for a player, a young player, in his first playoff game, in a game like this, to struggle, to not see the field well, to more or less kind of freak out, which is what he did in the first half yesterday, right? Like, we saw poor decisions, right? Like, we've seen a little bit of this with Jalen Hurts. So I actually don't think that's as alarming. Like, honestly, John, his play yesterday wasn't that alarming, right? When everybody wants to say the Eagles don't belong in the playoffs, here's what we know about when 7 teams from each conference make a playoff. You're probably getting a team in there that's not very good.
Yeah.
The Bears made it last year. They sucked, right? The Steelers made it this year. They had no business being on the field with the Chiefs, right? Like, clearly the Eagles and the Steelers were the worst two teams in the playoffs, right? It doesn't mean that it's not good to make the playoffs, and it doesn't mean that you haven't made some progress. The Eagles made some progress this season. Here's the problem. And you want to blame Sirianni. I don't blame Sirianni on this. He's gun-shy to make throws because he doesn't have the arm. You have tight windows, you have split-second moments where you have to make a throw, and you have to fit it in tight spots. And he doesn't have the arm to do that, and he doesn't have confidence in the arm to do that. Period. When you see an Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, was Mike McCarthy a good coach before?
No.
Or was it Aaron Rodgers just that good of a quarterback?
Aaron Rodgers made him seem far better than he was.
Right? Like, when you have good quarterback play, it's easier to be a good coach when you have guys that have the arm to make throws that those guys are capable of making. Jalen Hurts' intangibles are great. His teammates love him. I'm tired of talking about all the great things about
him. No, there's a lot of...
that's all we talk about.
Right. There's a lot of players that are great leaders that guys get behind, but in the end, you have to show it on the field. And I get all that.
He's shown to be competent. But when you watch him play, do you say, like, man, that was a hell of a throw? For all the warts that Carson Wentz has, and he's got a lot of them, and he may lose another job here. I don't know how much longer he'll be in the league. But when he made throws in games like the Washington throw that he got it to Miles Sanders, or you can think of a couple different moments where you're like, man, there's not a lot of people that can make that throw, right? Like, you still need everything else to be a successful quarterback, but you need that. You need to be able to make the throws that you're like, damn, that's the quarterback I want.
I agree. Outside of maybe the first half against Denver, I haven't had that moment where I've watched Hurts this year and I said, that's the franchise quarterback. You're right. I haven't seen that yet.
And he can develop more, and he can be more comfortable in the next playoff game, and he can see the field better and all that stuff, and that's something I would think that he would do going forward. But does it matter if he's really not good enough? And I don't think he's good enough. I haven't thought he's good enough. I thought he did a really good job, and he made some progress this year. Now, if you're going to build your football team, you're going to try to build around him just to see if he's the guy. I mean, the bottom line is, John, you may not have another opportunity to get a better quarterback.
And that's where I look at Nick Sirianni. It's like, wow, Nick Sirianni doesn't have a guy. What am I supposed to do? We're stuck in purgatory. No. Well, I have this simple game plan, and I can't work it with Jalen Hurts. If you are a smart head coach, who is Nick Sirianni coming off now his rookie year, so he has to learn and he has to develop and realize the errors of his ways when they are shown right in front of him. This is where a good head coach will make the most of the roster that he has. And he was wonderful at the turnaround, saying, you know what, our offensive line's our strength. We got a good stable of running backs. Let's start running the ball. And in the end game was the number one rushing team in the NFL. It didn't matter who your opponent was. There's still NFL teams that you're facing. But if you're going to enter the playoffs, which is a whole nother animal, and Nick Sirianni isn't new to the playoffs. He's been in the NFL for 20 years. So if you're going to enter the playoffs, knowing that there's a good chance your running game is going to get stifled at times and have nothing, no other alternative other than, well, I don't know what to do now. Let's just throw some plays up in the air and hope something sticks. That's bad coaching.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of problems yesterday. I would say the biggest was quarterback play. I'm going to get Archie in Ocean City in here. Archie had I heard a lot of talk about this morning on the morning show. Archie in Ocean City, go ahead.
Hey guys, 58 years watching the Eagles. Pretty long. I can't believe I'm that old. But
God bless you, Archie.
I'm doing fine. Thanks. The biggest thing is, in all my years, I never would think you'd give the ball to Tom Brady first. I mean, did they spend all week thinking about that, or? You know
something?
Win the toss. Defer. Thank you, Archie.
Normally, I think it's ridiculous, John. I'm like, why are we talking about this? It's a lousy analytic. Anybody can twist the numbers to fit their argument. However, the playoffs are completely different. The Eagles being the 7th seed, you knew they were going to be a heavy underdog going to win a matchup against the defending champs with the best quarterback in the history of the league. If you were to win that toss, I would want the ball first. And the fact that they deferred out of fear, well, you don't want the ball in Brady's hands at the end of the game, you really think you're thinking that far ahead when you're that big an underdog? You want to make the statement early and have Brady try to respond to it. I don't want the Tampa Bay crowd going bananas before you even get the ball because they just drove downfield and scored a touchdown, which they did. I know it sounds inconsequential in hindsight, but it did bother me at the start of the game that they didn't choose to receive.
I wasn't shocked, and it was the right move. Getting the ball first, what, you're going to get three and out and then give the ball to Tom Brady, right? Like, were you expecting a different result on offense than they'd be giving you all year? They struggled all year early. So you want to get the ball first, so then you just give it to them after a minute and a half when you go three and out. I mean, you do realize that the first two drives, they had 7 plays in both drives, a three and out and then a 4 and out, and then a 3 and out after that.
Yes.
So, yeah, in theory, yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, get the ball on offense. Go score a touchdown.
That's right.
Awesome.
Silence the crowd early.
Till you go 3 and out.
I know.
Right? Focus on this, like, you like
2020, yes.
The Eagles weren't winning this game, folks. The Eagles weren't winning this game, whether you had the kickoff or you didn't have the kickoff. You want the ball coming out at halftime. If Jalen Hurts doesn't throw an interception at the end of the first half, it's 17-7 and you have the ball. As it stands, here's the bigger issue, John, that you let Brady just march down the field.
I know.
On the first two drives, made it look easy.
And you and I have talked about the quarterback versus the head coach, and we haven't even addressed the defense yet, which was putrid. And they finally got some stops midway through, and that's because Tampa had lost 2 linemen. They were easing up a little bit because they had – I mean, they knew they had it in the bag already, and that's when the defense came up with some big stops. I am very disappointed in the front four of the Philadelphia Eagles, the second highest paid defensive line in the entire NFL.
Josh Sweat had the illness, wasn't playing. You knew that was
It's a bummer.
No one should be surprised with most of the stuff that we saw yesterday. They haven't played a tough schedule. They beat up on bad quarterbacks. Guess what? They became a run-heavy team because they didn't have confidence in their quarterback throwing the ball and their skill guys. Right, like Nick Sirianni, that's probably the biggest disappointment from yesterday. Was he disappointed me the most, just because I thought he had come a long way from where he was earlier in the season,
yes.
And he didn't yesterday. That's for sure. But Jonathan Gannon, like, anybody surprised at the defense yesterday that they got gouged early? That's what happened when they play good quarterbacks all year. No one should be surprised.
What are you gonna hit me up with the truth for? Hey, couldn't
Jesus.
I have been hopeful a little bit that he would have learned something along the way?
No.
That's what's disappointing,
no.
John.
No.
Do you not grow as a coach and learn from mistakes? That's why so many are calling up enraged right now. Because even though many predicted a loss, it would have been far more competitive than
it was.
Well,
it wasn't competitive. No, it was maddening. It wasn't competitive. Today's broadcast sponsored by Chiggies and Pete's, the best in-game experience for the playoffs. Chiggies and Pete's, enjoy all your playoff action with your Chickies favorites online. ChiggiesandPete's.com for a location near you. Other side, your phone calls, your reaction from yesterday. Can you flush it? Jack Fritz, can you flush this game?
No.
Flush it.
You know, John Johnson, are you flushing this
flush
game?
Flush it? What about? No. Flushing what?
Flush it and don't worry about it. Hold on a second. I was literally, like, you should have seen the nasty messages I got last week where I was just saying, like, hey, listen, you get blown out on Sunday. This ain't a success, and you're going to look at the season much differently. Oh, you're negative marks. You're anti-Jalen Hurts. How many people are flushing it out there?
You know
today?
Something, though, John? But here's the thing. Even in a blowout loss, nobody you thought you'd be able to see something to say, all right, well, Tampa's clearly the better team, but the Eagles are trying. They're just not there yet. John, that was supposed to be the game, even in a loss, that the NFL is put on notice.
Yeah.
By the way, everybody, look out next year. It might be the Eagles making their comeuppance. Instead, they fooled everyone.
All right, Nick Sirianni also blamed what for Jalen Reagor's play yesterday? That's coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP live from Chiggies and Pete's in South Philly. But, hey, listen, let's talk about it. NJ Diet, up to 40 days up to 40 pounds. Say it with me, 40 days up to 40 pounds with NJ Diet. It only takes 40 days to lose 20 to 40-plus pounds. And since NJ Diet is a contractually guaranteed money-back program, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. NJ Diet uses bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work that balances your hormones where the side effect is weight loss. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to create your ideal diet plan and workout regimen to keep it off. NJ Diet is all natural, no shots, no hormones, no prepackaged foods, and no surgery. And with offices close by in Princeton, Cherry Hill, King of Prussia, and now open in Newark, Delaware, or from home with live online video consultations. Start your new journey this year by calling them now, 855-5NJ-DIET. 855-5NJ-DIET or go to njdiet.com. That's njdiet.com. 40 days up to 40 pounds.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.